Hey, this is James Cratch, Giants beat writer for the Star Ledger and NJ.com, and you are listening to JK, but seriously, Real Football Injury Talk.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Heads and Tails Fantasy Football Injury Report. You are currently listening to Week 12 of the 2017 season. This is Kevin, and my co-host, Josh.
What's up, guys?
Oh, that was very soft and subtle. He's very tired. We just want to give a warning. We went to the Steelers-Packers game last night, which was a 5.5-hour drive for us.
Play-by-play, yeah.
Yeah, Sunday night, so we didn't get home until...
We came back after the game for reasons. Well, I had to work today, so that's why we came back. But we got back.
It's time efficient.
You got back at 5:30? You got back to the house at 5:30? I was asleep by 5:45. Slept for 3 hours, and then I'm here. Still going.
It's dedication.
I'd like to go to sleep soon.
I took off of work, so I got to sleep in a little bit.
A little nappy poo.
Finagle. I had two other podcast interviews today. So I might have taken off, but you were working. It was not off.
The grind never stops.
It never stops for you guys. So this week is a little on the lighter side. This could be because we were not watching football this week. We were driving and tailgating.
Watching one game,
which didn't really have too many injuries of note.
Not really. Exciting game, though.
Yeah, very exciting game. Josh's Steelers won, and Antonio Brown, unfreaking real, dude. He's so damn good.
Yeah, he's something else. It's even more ridiculous in person, I think, that, like, just some of the catches he makes, especially on the sideline, like in real time, that's not even close to being a catch.
Yeah.
And then they slow it down and put it on the jumbotron. I'm like, holy shit, he actually caught that.
Yeah, but when we saw that last one he caught in live, I was like, there's no way he caught that.
But even remember he caught that one right on our sideline down
when
at the
goal
line.
He was getting tackled.
Yeah, when he bent through it kind of behind him inside the five. And he was, like, falling down, going backwards, caught it behind his head.
And some guy was on him immediately, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that one.
He's just
Mr. Smooth. They got two of the smoothest guys in the NFL, and Le'Veon.
They do some silly things, those two. But
okay, enough of that. yeah, driving down the field for a last-second field goal to beat my Packers, but it's okay. I feel like it was scripted perfectly. It couldn't have gone any better for us.
The wings made it worth it, I think.
Your dad's wings, dollar bill.
Yeah, dollar bill.
They were very good. He's got like a secret sauce.
Yeah, secret sauce.
His go-to secret sauce.
Secret sauce. They're good.
Nobody knows what's in it, though.
Nobody knows. A little bit of everything.
Yep.
A little bit of everything.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd, for giving me the opportunity to experience a Pittsburgh Steelers football game. I will say the atmosphere was awesome. It was really cool. Everyone seems to be very into it, engaged, excited. Yeah. It's not always the case.
Yeah, it's different. I'm sure every place is different. Green Bay is different than MetLife is different than Dallas, but it's very Midwestern.
A win's a win. A loss is a loss. But no matter what, you better come with it because it's 90 feet to first, no matter where home is.
I don't know where you're going with that.
It's a Gatorade commercial. I tried this again in like another podcast. I think I blew it. But that one, I think I got it, actually. Okay. Obviously, we don't have a lot to talk about today. So, first off, Week 12 injuries. Amari Cooper, wide receiver for Oakland, concussion. This was a defenseless receiver-related hit. And he was, like, messed up.
Yeah, so he was – the video up is on – video is on. The link will have it. So,
brain cells aren't quite up, waking up yet.
No, yeah, but I'm going to try to work through it. So it was like a quick screen kind of. He was in the slot, and it was probably a 12-yard pass. And it's one of those ones where he's going down as he's catching the ball. Like, he knows he's going to get hit kind of. So he catches it. And a lot of times these wide receivers, in trying to brace – especially when they're over the middle of the field going towards the end zone and trying to brace for the hit that they know is coming, like they turtle. Yeah, they get small and they go towards the ground. So when the safety's coming up at the speed that they're coming up, I mean, they're just leading. I think, like, he led with his shoulder. He didn't lead with his head. But, I mean, you have a guy coming at you whose head and neck is going down lower towards the ground. You're gonna hit it. I mean, yeah, it is a penalty. I don't know what else the safety can really do.
I don't know if it was really necessary.
Like, no, that's but
he was going down. Yeah, that like, was he was being in the process of being tackled. So I mean, you can't ever really assume that they're gonna be tackled. Like, but
yeah, it's if you commit, and this is and this guy Simmons for Denver, like we talked about similar guys all year. Like these kind of guys play this certain way. So this is kind of how he plays, and I mean he's going fast. And if once he commits to making a hit, it's not surprising to me that this was the outcome of the hit. Yes, it's a penalty. It's yeah, like you said, you have to try to get these safeties to not. It's hard to tell a safety not don't hit a guy, you know, but it seems like in these certain situations that's the only way that you're not going to make helmet-to-helmet contact, shoulder-to-helmet contact, dangerous contact for the wide receiver.
Right.
And especially when I just from judging from what we've seen this year, I would say the majority of these plays happen inside the 20-yard line. The closer you get to the end zone, the more likely the safety, corner, defensive guy is to think about taking a hit on the receiver, whether he might be defenseless, whether he might be a
risk reward. Yeah, yeah, it's like yeah, either I risk him scoring a touchdown, yeah, or getting
or getting a first down inside yeah, the 10, something like that. But so it's but it's a scary one because you can see he's in that prone, frozen
fencing position, yeah, as they call it.
For sometimes you're like there for a second and then they snap out of it. He was out for a while.
Yeah,
yeah, it was like probably 10 or 15 seconds where he's like, you know, it's bad when they have like both teams
are like waving
over top
over,
of him,
yeah,
and waving the trainers on as fast as they can. So yeah, it's a bad one. Like I said, do you think you can teach safeties to not?
See, I think that one in particular is like super tough because he did significantly like make himself make himself small and turtle. So like the target zone, like he had nowhere else
one
to hit.
And he was going straight, like once you watch the video, he's going straight towards the end zone. I mean, he wasn't like we said, he was going down, but his shoulders and his head are going towards the end zone and the safety is coming directly the other way towards the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
so
I think this play is tough in the safety. Like I feel for them. A lot of times, like, you know, I don't have sympathy for him.
Yeah.
I don't really give him too much slack. But, like, on this one, he's in a tough spot for
yeah,
sure.
It's
especially
just,
he's trying to break up the play, trying to, you uh-huh, know. So it's tough when you turtle that much.
I don't know if you can get to a point where you can tell a safety don't.
Right. Or even tell a wide receiver not to turtle.
You
so,
can't. It's
yeah,
it's a natural reaction that a lot of those guys, especially those slot guys, do. And we've talked about it a lot all year. So it's an unfortunate one, but that's I mean, yeah, that's just like I hate to say speed of the game because that's what people say.
Right. It's
but,
the nature of the beast. One
yeah,
of those unavoidable
yeah,
risks you can't – yeah. All right. Next injury up is Paxton Lynch, quarterback for Denver with an ankle sprain.
So – this is like a non-contact. He's like rolled his ankle rolling out of the pocket. This isn't comical, but just the Broncos in general are just such a dumpster fire. And I like they were supposed to be a playoff team. Their defense is supposed to be top five in the league, and they haven't been able to find a quarterback. So Paxton Lynch was the guy that they traded up to pick in the first round last year. Played, I think he played started the last game of the season when they were out of the playoffs, and he had some shoulder issues in training camp that kind of inhibited him from competing for the starting job out of training camp and into the beginning of the season. So after they went through within the last couple of weeks, I think he finally got healthy enough to start. So this was his first start of the year. And obviously they're 3-7. So they're almost out of it at this point, but they didn't score any points in the first half. He got hurt in the third quarter. But it's just the Broncos are – and it's one of – they're in the same boat as a lot of these teams in terms of the quarterback position where probably their best chance to win games – you tell them to play tomorrow, their best chance to win a game is probably playing Trevor Siemian, a quarterback, who they started the year with. But they know that he's not
– the answer.
He's not a long-term answer. So for a lot of these, it's similar with the Bills and Tyrod Taylor. Their best chance to win a game tomorrow, no matter who they're playing, is to play Tyrod Taylor. But going forward long term, they don't think he's their quarterback. So do you play him? Do you play see if you have anybody else on your roster that maybe is a long-term solution? So they're in a very similar situation to a lot of these teams who are kind of searching for the answer at quarterback where it can lead to a lot of shit in the locker room because the Broncos defense is good. And they expect to be good. And when maybe they think one quarterback gives them the best chance to win and the team's playing somebody else because it might be better for the team long term in the future. So we'll see. You just feel bad. We have the image up of him crying on the sideline, like crying.
Everyone's been there before.
Yeah, it just seems, and especially for him, it seems like it's been starting the last two games last year, the last game of the regular season, it kind of felt like he was going to be the front runner to be their starting quarterback coming into the season. And then as soon as training camp happened, he had shoulder problems and he couldn't practice and he couldn't play, and then he missed the beginning of the year. And it seemed like it took him a lot longer to come back from it than even I think the team thought it was going to. And now, even though the team's struggling, he finally gets his shot and he plays two quarters, and now he's out for 2 to 4 weeks again. So
right.
it's you feel for the guy, obviously, but we'll see what happens with them. So they said they're playing Miami this week. They said they're going to start Trevor Siemian. So he's just kind of the lame duck. So he's basically playing for – now here's a guy playing for his next job, you know.
Right.
He started most of the –
He knows he's – yeah.
He started most of the year last year, started the first 6-8 games of this year. He knows he's not the Broncos quarterback long term after this season, but maybe if he has a couple more good games here in the next couple weeks, he can catch on somewhere else.
Next injury up is one that we've talked about earlier in the season. Greg Olsen, tight end for Carolina. Re-injuring the same foot, seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah, so he had surgery. We talked about, I think it was week 3. He had surgery on his foot.
Like planted weird.
Yeah, and like a non-contact thing. And from everything that I gathered, there's no video of this. It just seemed like it wasn't a specific play. Like he didn't plant wrong again and hurt
just
it.
Like wear and tear.
Yeah, it seemed like he was like didn't feel strong enough, or it was bothering him a little bit throughout the course of the game. And he just decided to shut it down. I think they're being cautious with him. Obviously, they have a pretty good shot to make the playoffs, and he's one of the biggest parts of their offense. So, I mean, regardless of win-lose this past week, if he's going to be healthy for the last couple of weeks, that gives them a lot better shot in the playoffs. So it didn't seem like it's significant. It just seemed like it wasn't
– too much too soon?
Yeah, it just didn't seem like he was as 100%, and they decided, okay, don't play anymore this game. Maybe sit out another week or two and just make sure we're 100% when you do
right,
go back
build
on
up
the field.
Some strength or something.
Yeah.
Next injury is Doug Martin, running back for Tampa Bay with a concussion.
Yeah, so this is another concussion protocol thing. There wasn't a
– No video.
I couldn't find a specific hit. The only thing I read was from a Tampa Bay reporter that said he took a hit on a running play. He was running the ball, took a hit, and – did the old ask out of the game, like helmet tap, you know?
Get me out, yeah.
Like,
thumbs up.
Then need a breather, and he didn't. But they didn't take him out, and he stayed on for the rest of the drive and the next couple of plays.
What does that mean?
And then later in the game, I guess he came off the sideline and then complained about symptoms, and so he didn't come back in for the rest of the game. But I couldn't find a video or anything of it. So it's just one of these ones that you want to follow and see. What comes of it? Like Devontae Freeman still hasn't played. I mean, yeah, he got a concussion 3 weeks ago, but he had one in the preseason. But I mean, he still hasn't played for the last 3 weeks for the Falcons. So
they're taking it seriously.
Yeah. So it's just interesting to follow up with these guys, especially running backs, the guys who get hit multiple times to see, because that's basically the only way we can determine how serious they are. You know, how many games
they miss,
how
yeah.
many games you're missing, and how early are they declaring you out for the next game, you know? Like the Devontae Freeman one, he was declared out for the next game like Tuesday. So you know they're not even going to bother trying to get him back to push it at all. So just another thing you want to follow.
Yeah, we got another concussion up with Kobe Fleener, tight end for New Orleans.
So we have the hit on this one up. So this was in the 4 o'clock game. Obviously, we didn't see any of this game, but judging from this stuff on Twitter – and the pic and the video of the play, he got like a helmet to the chin, a helmet to face mask. It was a legitimate helmet to helmet. We talk about helmet to helmet all the time. This was legitimately helmet to helmet.
Right.
And I guess they didn't even pull him off the field after this hit,
which is ridiculous.
And he did after the game, they did say he has a concussion, right? or they put him in the protocol, something like that.
Yeah.
But and this is my problem with, and we touched on it last week a little bit.
It's like watching a freaking train, like a car, accident. Like, you can't stop watching.
Any slappy anywhere can be watching the game and look at this hit and be like, okay.
We should probably pull that guy.
Like, I don't know if he has a concussion, but that doesn't look good. Like,
yeah.
Like, what is – I would like to know more about what they do or what the guidelines are or whatever it is or what the specific duties of the independent neurologist is.
Or the line of communication.
Anything.
From them,
like,
yeah.
That guy is supposed to be the one that's watching the game to pull guys out.
What the hell are you watching?
But is that the same guy that also has to do the concussion protocol tests?
I would think not.
Because if it is, like, that's not a good scenario, because then who's watching the game?
The way I interpret it is that there's someone up in the booth who watches.
Just watches.
Just watches, and they radio down.
And then there's a doctor on the sideline.
They radio down to whoever to say, hey, pull so-and-so. They need to get checked.
But, like, it just seems like to me, for as much as they publicized that 2 years ago when they started doing it, there's just so many situations that we've seen this year where guys don't come off the field.
Doesn't seem to be working, whatever their plan was yet.
And like I said, I rarely see it happen where we've seen a couple times where refs pull guys off the field. Now, I don't know if it's getting communicated to them to do it or they just do it on their own based on what they saw. And you see it a lot where the trainers have to come on the field because the guy stayed down. But, like, if Fleener gets right back up from that hit, okay, that's great. I'm glad you got back up. But you need to, like, needs to be some communication where
Chris
he needs Nowinski to go off
the field. Said that he was shaking his head walking off the field, you know, like, showing a sign that, like, something was not right. Or he was not feeling 100%. But the other thing, too, is, yeah, he took a helmet-to-helmet hit, but, like, did you see how that defender tried to freaking tackle him?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, classic leading with the crown of your head. Like, you can't – like, he put himself at risk of, like, a freaking neck injury.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That was terrible.
Yeah. I just think there needs to be some I don't know how to do it, but there needs to – and maybe you make it – instead of making it a guy upstairs watching the game, you kind of like we said with having another ref on site, maybe there needs to be another referee who's not –
oh, solely
– who's not in – one of the seven live referees who needs to call penalties. And like you're looking, you're watching the game.
Safety manager to make sure that the procedures are being executed.
Yeah. For all the technology that they have, he can be watching the game live on a tablet on the sideline. And he has the right to, whenever he wants, stop the game. You know, make it a, I don't know, what color you want to make it? A green flag? Coaches get red challenge flags.
Color rush flags.
The NFL can sell them. Game used color rush flags when a guy gets a concussion. So head coaches get to throw their challenge flag when they don't like the call that was made on the field. This extra ref can throw his injury flag to stop the game and take the guy off the field. I don't know if the NFL will ever do that solely because it's one of those things that would be you're putting a lot more emphasis and you're putting a lot more publicity on the injuries. You know what I mean? So
got the freaking blue tent. What else do you need?
Yeah, well they get to hide the player inside the blue tent, but and they don't show the blue tent all the time. They show it.
I feel like
by
I never
accident.
See it.
Yeah. But if you have a ref who's stopping the game to take injured guys off the field, it's going to be blatantly obvious. And the announcers go, oh, there's an injury. Or ref pulling a guy off the field because of injury. I don't know. I just don't know if they want to bring that much attention to it.
And then, like, do you have that referee, like, be credentialed as, like, an athletic trainer or a doctor? Because
then that's what the teams will complain about.
Like, hey, what the hell is this guy freaking know? He doesn't know.
But I think that it needs to be something different than what it is now. Because obviously what it is now, everybody can see that they're not taking guys off the field regardless of if they – just without any gray area. Anything close, it should be off the field. Like the college rule has, if your helmet comes off during the play, you have to sit out the next play.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
You get a color rush flag to the face, you sit out a play.
Yeah. You don't complain about it in college, but it's a rule, and it's been a rule, so you're used to it at this point. You know, I think it's one of those things where if they – if it had actually happened and they did it I don't think people would complain about it. Yeah, people would get mad if Beckham got hit in the head and got a helmet, and they took him off the field for a play or two plays. But at the end of the day, like, that's going to be – I don't know. That's progress,
at
least.
I don't – I mean, this may be because I only pay attention to the NFL hits and all that, but I feel like in college, like, you don't hear about people complaining about, like, safety rules and – targeting and
they more complain about targeting in the negative sense that guys get ejected from the games for questionable hits that maybe aren't so bad sometimes,
right?
But it's a different discussion, I think.
All right, so that was an interesting hit to talk about. Another concussion is Telvin Smith, linebacker for Jacksonville.
Yeah, so this is kind of the second tier of the conversation talk that we just had. So Telvin Smith, linebacker for the Jaguars, came out. We don't have the video for this one either, but came out of the game to be tested for a concussion, was cleared to go back in the game, went back in the game, and then came out later and was diagnosed with a concussion. We talked about this last week, I think, at length, but I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can change this. You know, unless you can change the way – you have to change concussion protocol to change this to where it's – and this is something that I don't know if the teams would want to do, but can you do concussion protocol in 2 minutes? Because it seems like that's what they do now. And it seems like based on how they conduct it originally, it enables guys to go back into the game.
Yeah, and then you also have the thing of, like, the symptoms don't start until later, too. Yeah. Like, that to me, that'll be – you can't change that.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember playing in games where I had concussions and I didn't really have symptoms until, like, after. So,
I mean, this is a – like, this specific instance is a great thing for people to complain about towards the NFL. Like, oh, this guy had a concussion and he was playing. But who is anybody to say that the Jaguars didn't follow protocol and he – seemed good to go,
right?
Unless you're just gonna go, if you go into the protocol, you can't come back into the game at all, you know. But then I feel like
then people wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think teams are gonna want to do that.
And they err on the side of like, you're fine.
And players aren't gonna want to go into it, knowing that if I go into it at any point during the game, I can't come back in and play.
Right.
So this is.
I'm liking the site safety manager approach because it's like a visual authority, you know, to make sure that you're doing things the right way.
Yeah.
You know?
Whereas what they're doing right now, I just don't.
Even make it like a former player.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, all these former players want to stay in football and get paid. Like, you could stay in football and get paid doing this.
Right. A safety manager or whatever.
We've said it all year. I think everything that the NFL does tries to be so optically progressive. You know, we want to be viewed as we're doing the right thing towards the fans and doing the right thing with concussions. But it just seems obvious that they could do better. I don't know. I don't want to say more, but they could tweak it to make it a lot more efficient than it is.
It's not like they have to reinvent the wheel. A lot of these things are, like, already in place in other industries and other things like that. Like,
as we talked about last week.
Yeah. All right. Now we're moving on to the plays of Week 12. We got the Oakland-Denver fight. You want to talk about this one or explain how it all went down and the history?
This was a carryover from last year. Late in the year last year, Aqib Talib, the corner for the Broncos, and Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver for the Raiders, who were both not by any means calm players on the field, got into it at the end of last year when – Talib pushed Crabtree out of bounds late. Crabtree came up and pushed him back. And then Talib put his hands underneath his shoulder pads and ripped his necklace off of him.
Pretty thick necklace, too.
And then ran away. And, like, almost celebrated that he ran. He ripped his necklace off. So, obviously,
they don't like each other.
Don't touch another man's jewelry. So, in the game yesterday, basically all Crabtree did was just – an extended block on a running play where they just ran the ball right with the middle, and Crabtree went up to Talib, got him inside his shoulder pads, drove him back about 10 yards and then off the field to the sideline and then back the other way out of bounds 10 more yards. And then once they went to the ground,
all hell broke loose.
It was on the Bronco. He was there on the Bronco sideline. So, I mean, Broncos guys were everywhere. Raider guys were now being thrown into the pile. And then it seemed like once it started to calm down, somehow Crabtree and Tlaib managed to make their way to the complete opposite side of the field by the Raider sideline and were throwing punches at each other. I don't know how they got over there. But anyway, they both got ejected. So it's – to me, the biggest point with this is how can – because NFL fights are not – you can't compare them to hockey fights. Hockey fights are so – I mean, they have a referee right there. It's only one-on-one. Sometimes you see, in the playoffs, sometimes you see like huge scuffles between the team. But obviously, only the guys on the ice allowed to be in it.
Mano y mano.
The referees, when it's more than just one-on-one, try to break it up immediately. But it's one-on-one. It's 15 to 20 seconds. And, you know,
it is what it is.
Yeah, they do what it is.
Duke it out.
But these NFL fights are like bar fights. optically, it looks a lot worse than you and me actually – face to face, throwing a couple jabs at each other.
Right.
Like, these guys are just, like, coming out of nowhere, blindsiding each other, just throwing fists everywhere.
Right.
Like, it's not – it looks a lot worse.
Right. Like, it wasn't an agreed-upon thing. Yeah, they're like sucker punches.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all sucker punches, and there's so many more guys involved, obviously, because there's more players on the field. But how does the NFL because you're gonna have these situations. I mean, we've had three or four this year, and you're gonna have 5 to 7 situations every year in however many games, 200 and whatever games in the NFL every year, that it just boils over. You know, but how do you make the punishment so vast that
make it like college basketball with Alabama? Anyone who runs on the field to come in, you get ejected.
Yeah, well, but they eject guys now. I don't know if ejecting
is a deterrent.
Yeah,
when you're in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, because these things are like so it builds up so quickly.
Emotions are
like I don't think Crabtree gives a shit if he got thrown out. You know, they're struggling. He doesn't care. Like, he wanted to prove his point.
Right.
He did, and he got ejected. So, I mean, can you stop it?
Do you want to stop it?
Can you? Yeah. Can you make a rule that if you get ejected for fighting, it's an automatic suspension for the next game, no matter what? Because that's one of the things we talked about with the AJ Green fight.
Yeah.
It's the NFL doesn't the NFL doesn't like suspending a guy after he's been ejected because they view an ejection as a suspension because they're missing a game.
Right.
But
I guess if you ever seen an injury in a football fight? Like,
no, because like I said,
yeah.
it's so chaotic.
Right. So like, who really cares?
People try to punch each other in the helmet.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if you're using your helmet as a weapon.
Yeah.
But like,
I mean, player, and if somebody did that, obviously, I think they would get suspended for a long time.
Right.
Player safety wise, I don't think it's as much of an issue. It's just optically, it just looks.
Yeah.
I feel like it looks bad for the NFL. So I don't know if you say a 4-game suspension if you get ejected for fighting, do guys think twice about it? I don't know.
You know what I'm curious about with the hockey fighting is, like, once the visors are, like, completely grandfathered in to the NHL.
It's like 95% now. It's pretty close.
I know, but probably the guys who are left are the ones who fight.
Some of them, yeah.
Like, I don't think – have you ever seen a fight with a guy who had a visor on?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess I don't watch enough hockey.
Yeah. You don't watch enough hockey.
Okay. all right. Next up.
Couple plays.
We got Jabril Peppers of Cleveland, helmet-to-helmet penalty. This one was borderline, right?
Yeah, I thought it was borderline. It's so tough when we slow it down and speed it up and watch it at all these different angles. But basically, this was late in the game, and the Browns were down 7, and it was a third down that the Bengals had in medium field goal range. So they were at like the Browns 30-yard line, and they threw a deep pass and it was incomplete, and Peppers got called for personal foul. They got an automatic first down. Bengals scored a touchdown on the next play, and they went up 14 with less than 10 minutes left. It's a tough one. To me, I would like to think that's a good football play. maybe it's a good football play that's just illegal now. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm finally coming to grips that it can be both. It can be a clean, good intentioned football play that you can't do anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear what you're saying, and I think you showed me this last night when we were at the game, and I remember watching it, and initially I thought like, yeah, that should be a penalty. Is that when I said that?
Yep.
When I just looked at it just now, I think less and less that it should be a penalty. Yeah.
It's not dirty.
It wasn't that high either. It wasn't like at his head. Mm-mm. And he kind of just like – he had – the only way he could break up that play was by kind of throwing his shoulder and body, you know, at the receiver the way that he did. And he broke up the play. He was 5 yards away from the freaking end zone. So, yeah. Like, he's doing what he had to do.
Yeah.
So I think that one was a clean play.
Yeah. So the coach Browns coach said, I'm not going to tell Jabril to play any differently. If he can lower his strike point a little bit, then great. But I'm not jumping him or going to be upset with him because of the play and how it happened. I'm not going to do that. So yeah, I mean I don't want to say it cost them the game, but
I mean, if he didn't break up the play.
Well, yeah. If they caught the ball, they would have scored a touchdown. They would have been down by 14. If he broke up the play, then maybe they would have had a chance to go down and tie the game. Obviously, they probably wouldn't have done that to the Browns. But it's unfortunate to see it get called for penalty and then they basically have the game end when the Bengals score another touchdown on such a it's a coin flip call. It's not going to be egregious if it's not called.
Right.
But it leads us into the next one where a Buffalo defender got called on the last in under a minute left against the Chiefs for a helmet-to-helmet penalty when there was actually no contact made at all between the players. So the Chiefs guy was running towards the sideline and kind of stumbling and falling down. And the Bills guy was going down at him and dove at him and dove right over the top of him. And he might have, like, grazed face masks. But if you watch the video of it, you have to slow it down to kind of see if they even made any contact at all.
Right. And this kind of reminds me of, like, a Kiko Alonso kind of situation where, like, could he have avoided contact and jumped over him? And it almost seems like this Buffalo defender,
tried to
avoid the contact, and he did, and then he got a penalty anyway. Yeah.
And this is where any NFL and officials can't really win, because I've gotten the sense this year where the NFL referees would much rather make a call and be wrong because it wasn't helmet to helmet, then not make a call and be wrong and it was helmet to helmet. I think they'll get in a lot more trouble from the league if they're not calling it and it actually is, than if they do call it and it wasn't.
Right.
Because
it's an image thing.
Yes. Yes. So I think they're a lot more, especially the guy flew over top of him. It wasn't like a slow play. Like he was moving pretty quick. So, I mean, it happened really fast. And there might have been a little bit of sound there where, like I said, I think the refs judge by sound a lot. But if this play could have cost the Bills a game, they're up six with a minute left. And this penalty moved the Chiefs inside the Bills 40. They go down, they score a touchdown there, and they win the game. I mean, this game would be
– right.
It could be – yeah, I mean, the Bills fans would be going crazy.
Bills Mafia.
Yeah, it would have been the worst
call
all year.
Two freaking jumping off of who knows what.
Yeah.
On the tables.
But luckily for the Bills, the ball doesn't lie. Alex Smith threw an interception like two plays later, and then they won. But I've gotten the sense that
– football gods.
I've gotten the sense that NFL refs, especially this year, they're erring on the side of, I don't want to get in trouble. And if it's close, I'm going to call it. And if we have to go back and apologize that we were wrong later, we'll go back.
Hey, and I mean, to be at the end, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't feel like that's a bad thing.
No, it probably isn't. It's just you would wish they would be able to get it right without having to fear, you know, if they can just referee the game. And if you think it is, call it. And if it's not, don't call it. Don't call it because you're afraid of getting in trouble for not calling it. That's the wrong way to do it.
I think that we brought this up in a previous episode of, like, the NFL not having their back. Like,
yes.
they're the face of the mistake or the correct call.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't have anyone backing them saying, like, you know what, we support your wrong decision. or whatever. All right, as we kind of wrap this thing up, it wouldn't be a fantasy football injury report without talking about Vontaze. So Vontaze was penalized for pretty much a legal hit technically.
Yeah.
Because it was within 5 yards. Can you explain a little further there,
so
Josh?
This is where the Browns receiver is running one of those shallow crossers. So he's starting on one side and running all the way across the field on the other side, but basically 2 yards past the line of scrimmage, so right past the lines. So the rule is if you're within 5 yards, you can hit defensive players can make contact with the receiver within 5 yards. So, I mean, technically it's legal. The only thing that we can't see from – we have the video up. It wasn't terribly helmet to helmet. It wasn't. So he got suspended in the preseason for a similar play where the fullback was within 5 yards on the Chiefs. We talked about this the first week of the season. The fullback was within 5 yards, but the difference was the ball was out and the ball was over.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, the ball was over Burfict's head. Burfict saw Alex Smith throw it deep down the field, and he
laid him out.
He
anyway.
Blew up the guy anyway. So the only problem is from this angle, you can't see
where the ball is.
Yeah, you can't see if the quarterback still has the ball in the pocket. As long as it wasn't helmet to helmet, yeah, you can do that. Is it a penalty because it was perfect? Probably. But like we've said, this is like the second or third time that he's gotten a penalty or done something that the coaches or his teammates have come out and defended him for. But you've dug your own grave at this point. Like, you have such a bad reputation for doing this stuff that you can't complain when you do something that you're going to get a penalty.
Line. Yeah,
you just can't do it. So, but I would like to see where the ball is, and if he's looking at the ball and where. Like,
well, you'd think he would get fined if it was something similar to the preseason hit.
Yeah.
You know, so if it was clean, he's probably not going to get fined. Yeah.
So we'll see. But I mean,
stay tuned.
He's an all-pro player. Like he can see where the quarterback's eyes are. He can see if he's truly looking at the guy crossing as an option to catch the ball. So, but like I said, you can't really tell from the video. But also, he has no ground to stand on. He can't complain about anything that happens to him for the rest of his career because he's done so much stupid shit.
Forever.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap up the conversation with a little turkey talk and players' reactions to the Thanksgiving Thursday games.
Yeah, so we touched upon this a little bit going into the Thanksgiving week, but for all the talk of all the players and everyone who said how much they hate Thursday night games and hate Thursday all year, you get to Thanksgiving and everybody loves it. Like, it's like, oh, it's such an honor to play on Thanksgiving and all this stuff. It's interesting to think about. And, like, I get it because you grow up and like, all these – as the kids who – or the men, the guys who are playing now, grow up as little kids watching
– football on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, watching football on Thanksgiving. So it's almost an honor and a privilege to play. But – so it was just interesting to see how many across the board guys on every team come out and say how much they appreciate the opportunity and enjoy playing. Like we make such a stink about Thursday night games. The Lions play the Detroit's in the Central Time Zone. They're playing at 11:30 local time on Thursday after playing on Sunday night. It's a full 8 hours earlier, 9 hours earlier than a true Thursday night game. It starts at 8:30, but they love it. So it's just one of those things that's interesting to have, see the players' perspective for as much as they complain about it, to hear them say what a privilege it is to play on Thanksgiving, which is, like I said, if they get rid of Thursday nights, I don't think they'll never get rid of Thanksgiving.
It doesn't sound like they want them to either. So.
No, and I think the public would be. Can you imagine no football on Thanksgiving?
What the hell would you watch? The parade?
Yeah, and the dog show. And
that's it.
Then you'd have to talk to your family. You know, like, who wants to do that for that long of amount of time? Yeah, but
careful what you say. People listen to this.
People listen.
Who might be offended by that?
People listen. But, I'm sure we'll talk more about the Thursday night stuff as the season winds down to kind of see what their plan is. I'm sure it'll start to leak out what they think they're gonna do. So,
well, all right, Josh, get some rest. We'll come back re-energized for next week, and we'll.
Week
crush.
Week lucky 13.
Yeah, lucky 13. Let's
Fine.
See what happens. Yeah.
Fine.
Never know. Good thing they don't play on Fridays.
Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.